days on earth I will await. The moment that I see you face to face. For nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your
vessel, make me an offering, make me Crushed in life, and I was thinking, you know, as I come into this service, that, you know, statistics tell us that when you have a group of people come together, like, you know, your week wasn't the greatest. There's somebody in here that had a bad week. There's somebody perhaps in here that came in this morning with a headache. There's perhaps somebody come in here this morning who is discouraged. There's somebody who came in here this morning that is having the turmoil of their life, and they're just the tribulation is pouring upon them. I know there's people who come in here this morning, you're feeling just on top of the mountain, you're feeling the greatest, everything's going right for you. But there's other people that perhaps come in here this morning that are just going through something that they feel the crushing. They feel the need of Jesus to bring new wine out. Let's believe that this morning. I don't know what you're experiencing, what you're going through, what you're facing. If you're discouraged this morning, you just feel at the bottom of all the things that you could go through. I believe that Jesus wants to do something today with your life. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen. Would you stand with me and pray? Father, we come into this place this morning, and God, we've come in here with an expectation. We've come in here on this Pentecost Sunday, Lord. We believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit. We believe, Holy Spirit, that signs and wonders and miracles are in your realm. You can do anything because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we thank you this morning for every person that's here. God, whatever they're facing, whatever is happening in their life, they're discouraged, they're down, they're feeling empty. Lord, whatever it is that's on their life, I pray, Lord, that in that crushing and in that feeling right now, the Holy Spirit would wrap His arms around them so mightily that they would feel the love of Jesus being squeezed into them, Lord. Just like a beautiful flower would just be raised up right now, Lord God, that you would touch them and cleanse them and let them feel that hope again, Lord, in their lives. God, I praise you, Lord, as we come into this place, Lord God, that maybe the feeling that came in with us just seemed to be evaporating right now because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God. We owe all the praise and honor and the glory to you right now, Lord God. We praise you. We praise you for what you can do. You can turn our mourning into dancing. You can turn our bleakness into greatness. God, you can turn our discouragement into encouragement. God, you can do all things because all things with you are possible. So we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord God. I pray again for Eric right now, Lord. Just heard a report that his throat is closing up on him. I pray for Eric right now, Lord, that you would touch him in the hospital, Lord. That you would minister to him, Lord God, that he would feel the church behind him right now praying for him, Lord Jesus, that we would pray and stand with him, Lord, and even right now turn that around, open up his airwaves, open up the throat, Lord God, whatever you need to do, Lord God, however you need to do it, Lord, we just give him over to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, we thank you. Again, we give you Ruth, our sister, Lord, who's going through some real rough time right now with chemotherapy and radiation. We lift her up to you, Jesus. We just give her over to you, Lord God, knowing, beyond a shadow of doubt, you could heal her right this instant. We know that, Lord God. So she's in your hands. We place her there. We pray over her, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. God, on the day of Pentecost, there was miracles that were falling. God, there was signs and wonders. There was salvations. There was great things happening, Lord. From that day forward, Lord, you poured out your Holy Spirit and the church rose up. The church rose up with the blessings of God working through them. So God, here we are, 2018, still believing in signs and wonders and miracles, still believing in the resurrected Christ, still believing in all that you did back then, but still believing that you can do it today. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence. Be with us now as we go to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord a hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today on this Pentecost Sunday. I'm glad you're here. It's a long weekend. And I knew that people would be away on this weekend, but I'm glad that you're here. Pray for those who are off vacationing. And I want to thank John again for being here. John had planned to be away this weekend, but Miles was on the shift where he's not here on this Sunday. So we would have no leaders. And John graciously said, well, I'll step in and I'll help out, even though he was going to be away this weekend. And I told him it's good because it's been raining all weekend anyway. You didn't want to go away anyway. So glad to have you here. We're glad to have you here. Welcome to church. And be blessed on this long weekend and this Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. I always like these times when you come to Pentecost Sunday. Amen. So can I get a witness? Amen. Hallelujah. We don't say that much anymore, do we? Can I get a witness? Yeah, a witness is something special where you are in agreement with them. You're seeing something, you're feeling something that's going your way, and you're getting something. So can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be here today? Amen. I am. Glad to be here. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be anywhere these days. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to go to Acts chapter 2. I feel that we should go there and read the first four verses of Acts chapter 2. This is where the very blessings of Luke, Dr. Luke, writing down on that day the specifics of what happened on the day of Pentecost. He left no details out. He didn't leave out the wind. He didn't leave out the fire. He didn't leave out anything. He wanted to make sure that we saw everything and heard everything, even though we're reading it 2,000 years later. He wanted to make sure that we could identify with what happened on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. So are you at Acts chapter 2? I don't have it on the screen, so you got to read with me in your paper or your technology, okay? Acts chapter 2 says this, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. That means they were together in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. I'm looking forward to that trump of God one day. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I don't know how you could sit after that, but they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Go with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 1. I've been reading these for several weeks now. You probably have them all memorized in your mind, but I just want to read you the first three verses again. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking to them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Would you go with me over to the first epistle of John? It's on page 1838 in my Bible. The first letter, the first epistle of John. Just want to read from verse 1. In there that says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Father, thank you so much for this day, this Pentecost Sunday. Holy Spirit, do whatever you need to do right now in this building with us. We make ourselves available, Holy Spirit, to do and to say and to act the way you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did you watch the wedding yesterday? It's beautiful. I like the old traditional vows of a wedding. It's very beautiful. And say, I kind of like that black preacher from the States. I was getting a charge out of him. It was so dull and everything else until he got up there and started speaking about love and showed a little bit of excitement. Amen? I believe that we should be excited around the Word of God. That was my cup of blessing right there in the whole wedding ceremony. And I could see some of the, as people were listening, some of the smirks on their faces and everything else, that they weren't getting a witness, you know, to what was happening. So it was kind of sad to see that. But here we are, the day of Pentecost, and I have to believe that here we are because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of the resurrection that we read of and see from the pages of the Scripture that Dr. Luke is giving us an account of, that from the resurrection we have from Acts onward in the New Testament is something beautiful. In other words, everything from here on in, from Acts chapter 1, hinges on the fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would not be able to write anything more after the four Gospels. They would end at the book of John, and there would be nothing more. But the Gospels tell us, and they hinge on that fact, that Jesus rose from the grave, that he was resurrected. The Bible could have stopped at the Gospels. They could have only talked about a good man by the name of Jesus Christ, who went around doing good. And so that's why they called him a good man. But they could have said, well, that good man is dead now, dead and gone. And it's good to have memories, and it's good to remember a person who is deceased. But because of the resurrection power, they saw Jesus again. They saw Jesus again. And because of that resurrection, we will all see Jesus, and we will see our loved ones again. If they were saved and set free and they were in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be rest assured, if you are saved today, you will see your relatives again. I can hardly wait when we cross that shore and get over to Glory Land and see that very place where we will be with them. Amen? Hallelujah. It's because of Jesus Christ, the salvation that comes in him, through his death, through the grave, and through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness this morning? Amen. 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 See, the remainder of the New Testament from Acts to the Revelations is all about those who saw Jesus. That's why they wrote. They saw Jesus from the second chapter on down. That's why we have the New Testament from this part of the Bible all the way down, is because those who saw Jesus Christ and they gave their lives for the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really love the case of Christ that we talked about and we were going through our study, but we talked about in our last meeting about how, you know, if people said, well, they don't believe in the resurrection, they don't believe that Jesus Christ came back to life, then why do these guys die for their faith? Like, I mean, it doesn't make sense. If they're going to go around preaching and being martyred and stoned and crushed and killed and the cruelty of all those people around them, would you do that for somebody that didn't show up? I mean, they went around and they preached it. I mean, they even say that Peter was crucified on a cross upside down. He didn't want to be crucified like his master. So these 50 days that were from the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to the very day of Pentecost, these 50 days are the 50 days that changed the world. This changed the world. And it is from Acts chapter 2 to Revelation chapter 22 that is very significant for us as Christians to understand and see the need of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So today, what is Pentecost? I mean, you get this in the first three verses. It's about the resurrection. It's about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. It's about the Holy Spirit. And so you want to know what Pentecost is all about? This is what Jesus re-identified with them in those 40 days that he had to be with them. And they became witnesses for Jesus. I like when you started out this morning, John, when you said that one day when we get to heaven, be no more of preaching, no more witnessing. I thought, hey, that's pretty good. He's hitting right onto the message today. But they became witnesses for Jesus. They testified, even though Jesus is gone. I mean, these guys, this church, 120, they kept the proverbial ball rolling because of the risen Christ. They preserved and kept the evidence of a Savior who is now alive, not dead, alive, was now alive. They entered the race, a relay race, giving the truth of a Savior who is alive to all who would receive that truth, the truth of the living Christ who came to this world to save sinners. About what you and I are sinners saved by grace. Amen? Today, even though we cannot see Jesus nor touch Jesus, him physically, we are blessed if we believe. Isn't that right? We are blessed if we believe. Are you blessed this morning? Why? Because of the testifying, the preaching, and the witnessing of this truth, of these disciples, to the people around them. They started churches. They went around to all the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And you and I are saved today because of the witnessing that they started back in Acts chapter 2 and preaching the word of God and testifying for Jesus. And because of them, you and I are here today praising God, singing songs. And I have the blessed privilege of standing here preaching the word of God, all because of the resurrection. Lord Jesus Christ and the day of Pentecost and those disciples who went around doing good and preaching the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are here today because of that. Amen. Hallelujah. It's nothing else. You didn't get here on your own steam. You didn't get saved on your own merits or anything else. You are saved because of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And because of them, we have the reliable word of the mouths of those who are the great witnesses of this truth. Witnesses to the truth of the truth. You know, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, hallelujah, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race just like they did, the race of endurance that is set before us. Can we do that today? Can we run the race? Don't give up, church. Run the race, run the race, push on. You know, it's interesting because, you know, Betty and I were out walking our dog. We have to go out, and even if it's rainy or snowy or anything else outside, and we don't believe in snow right now, but it's rainy at times. Did you know our dog doesn't like walking in the rain? Our dog doesn't like water at all. And this morning it was raining a little bit, and when we bring our dog to the front door, we open the door, and she just stands there. I have to kind of get her going, say, hey, you're not staying here, you're getting out. So she pushes out in the rain and all that. Anyway, about a week and a half ago, Betty and I, we decided we're going to walk our dog. It was time. She hadn't been out for several hours, so we went to the door, and it was raining. And we stood there, and I felt like the dog. I don't really want to go outside. You ever felt like that when you see the rain outside? And all three of us were there. We're all kind of looking at the drops coming down. And I said to Betty, oh, we've got to go. Bell hasn't been out for quite a while. So we went, and we started down the street, and it was raining. And all of a sudden, we got out to the corner of Pitt and Tollgate, and it stopped raining. And the sun came out. And we went and walked for the next half hour in the sunlight. And I started thinking, you know, the rain probably could have stopped us from going outside. And I started thinking about this because, you know, how many times do we see something, evidences in our life that are not very nice, and we take a step back as Christians, and we're afraid to step out in faith, and we're afraid to go to that place, and we miss out on the sunshine that was out there waiting for us. And I realized all that walk that I just thank God for that beautiful walk that we had, and that we didn't go so scared that we stayed in the house because of that 3-minute rainfall. Amen? How often our flesh is so weak, but keep the spirit strong. Amen? You know, in just a few weeks, we're going to have Jehovah's Witnesses all around us. They take over the complex down there, and every weekend they'll be there in our city. And I looked at the Jehovah's Witnesses, their crowds, and they'll be all around us. I think of the word witness, and they call themselves Jehovah's Witness. And Jehovah's Witness do not witness truth, but error. They witness error. They are the wrong witness, and they're considered a cult, a false religion, false teachers, and they abstain from the truth. You see, when Jesus is not considered the Savior of the world, of which they do not consider him, they consider him a good person, not the Son of God. When Jesus is not considered the Savior of the world, then that person or organization are labeled a cult, and they are a cult. They create a distortion to the truth. You know, it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And the sad part of it all is they call themselves witnesses. As I look at that, and I know that the early church, they were up against all kinds of false preaching, false teaching, false doctrines, and everything else that is all around us. We need to stand as a true and reliable witness for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word that we go by, not the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures by the Jehovah's Witness. They've distorted so many things in the Word of God, and you need to make sure that you do not get a copy of that word, because it is not the Word of God. Amen. You know, I want to be a witness for Jesus. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Betty and I were walking our dog. This is where I get all my stories, okay? Walking the dog. And we're walking the dog, and anybody know where that little chip wagon is on the corner of Pitt and Tollgate? You know, I know Bruce and Grace know where it is. Yeah. I've seen you there. Yeah. Were you there yesterday? Yeah. All the grease and the... Okay. But we were walking by there, and we just went past it, and there's a couple of offices just across the road beside Tim Hortons. And I noticed this man out of the corner of my eye coming out with his shirt, tie, nice trousers, came walking across the road, and I thought, well, he's just going to the chip truck to get some fries. And he started coming towards us, and I stopped, and he said, oh, where's your other dog? And we lost Poppy last year, remember, shared with that. And so we started talking about that, and he said, I just wanted to find out because I looked out and I didn't see the other dog. And I really want to commend you two because you're always so faithful at walking your dog. You've been doing this for years and you're always out there walking your dog back and forth. And I started thinking to myself, you know, here we are, you know, walking a dog, people see you. And it's a testimony in sorts. I mean, we didn't stand there and say, you need Jesus, to this guy on the street corner and like that. But I started thinking that he saw something in us that we kept doing every week, you know. And I started thinking that every Sunday morning, Betty and I get up to go to church. And we, at the same time every week, basically, we pull the vehicle out of the garage, we get my Bible into the car, I go out and take the dog out for their last fling, and we get into the car, and we drive away, and of course they see a shirt and tie on me, and I saw a guy out this morning with an old white t-shirt sneezing on the front porch having a cigarette, and he was standing there sneezing away, and he looked at me and he sneezed, and I said, oh, bless you. But they see me out there, and I never have to say anything. But, you know, when some people get up on Sunday mornings, get dressed for church and ready for church, I think it says something to people in our community that you're not going out jogging like we saw people coming down Pitt Street today. We're not out washing our car. We're not out sitting on the front porch. We're not doing all those things. We're coming to church. It's a testimony, I really believe. It's a witness. No words are said. It's a picture presented to people around us of what the importance of Sunday morning is to Betty and I as we head to church. I was really proud of Betty a few weeks ago as well. She went to her hygienist at the dentist's office. And you know, I dropped her off and I said I'd be back in about 40, 45 minutes because I knew that's how long it takes for the hygienist to clean their mouth. Some people may take longer, especially if you've got a foul mouth or something really dirty in there or whatever. But anyway, I dropped Betty off there. I came back in 40 minutes, and I'm waiting in the parking lot for the dentist's office. I'm waiting 45 minutes. It's an hour. Oh, she must have had a dirty mouth. An hour and 10 minutes. You know, and Betty comes out, and she's got this big smile on her face. I says, well, you should have a smile after getting your mouth cleaned that much, you know, and all that. And so she says, guess what? I had a chance to witness to the hygienist. I said, well, how do you do that in a dentist's office when they got
You need Jesus.
You know, anyway, she, between all those moments, she had a chance to share the Lord Jesus Christ with her hygienist and tell her about our church and all those good things. And I just love to listen to the stories about the witness that you and I can have. And then Betty told me about Betty and Grace were out walking at the Benson Center, and there was a lady that you got to talk to about the drama presentation and invited her out and had a real good chat with her. I just love to hear about all those good times that people have in witnessing. Today, how do you feel about witnessing for Jesus? Or in other words, can we, you and I, be a witness for the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, let us consider the fact of why we need to be witnesses of the truth. A lot of people say, well, why? Why should I do that? Why do you need to do that? Well, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ is because we are what we are called to be. We are called to be witnesses. We are different. We are set apart. The word says that we are the salt. We cannot lose our flavor. We are the lights burning on a high hill. We are like a city on a hill. We are like a torch bearing good news. Why? Because we are different, and it's because of Jesus in us that we are different. It's not because of anything that you and I do. It's because of Jesus in us. Anybody ever heard of Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States? I thought this was really interesting. Now, Mike Pence is a born-again Christian. Real good Christian. He will do everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, George Will scorns Pence for the high crime of decency. I saw this in this article, and it was so interesting. Conservative syndicated columnist George Will wrote this week that Vice President Mike Pence has become America's most repulsive public figure. Why does Will think Pence deserves this absurd slur? Apparently, the columnist has found the vice president guilty of the heinous crime of being a decent man. I read that. I said, would to God that people outside in our community would say, you're a decent man. Thank you. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I trust that you're getting the sense of this message this morning today on Pentecost Sunday, as we have probably sat through many messages on the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that you've gone through many messages, but today I think that we need to get past the message of the infilling of the Holy Spirit as much as we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit into the reason why we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the reason why we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? I saw this interesting article from Barna, who does a lot of great research, and they have been around since 1993. They asked this question back in 1993 about the responsibility to share your faith to people in the church. And this statistic comes from the United States, but they said back in 1993, 89% of the people in the church believe that it's our responsibility to share the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost around us. That's a pretty good number, 89%. But then, today, those who feel they were responsible to share their faith, 64%. That's the statistic today in 2018. I looked at that, and that is 25 points down from what it was in 1993. I wonder why there's no revival. I wonder why people are not getting saved. I wonder why things are not happening in the churches around us. Why is something going on with the Christian? We need to get back to the place where we're sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So for the last few weeks, I've been sharing the messages on Acts chapter 1, verse 3. And I believe that first chapter sets up the rest of the book of Acts. In fact, I believe there is a dynamic of this book that should capture the attention of any church who believes this Bible and get them back to witnessing again if we get back into the book of Acts. And I can hardly wait till Pierre gets us going in the book of Acts in the fall when we start going in September, get into the deep core of the teaching of the Word of God from the book of Acts, that history book showing what the church did, how they did it, where they went, when they did it, and all those things. And God was working with them. Amen? God will work with you if you go for the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes a few followers of Jesus who thought they were doing well but needed something more for the time when Jesus would leave them. is why Pentecost came. I mean, Acts displays the power of the Holy Spirit working through people who stepped up to the challenge. How many like a challenge? You know, go ahead and double dog dare me sometime and I'll do it. You know, I'll just, you don't think I can't? It's kind of like, you know, the challenge just comes your way and you get this, oh yeah, I'll show him. I can remember many years when I was growing up, my teen years, you know, how many know that teens are something special? Teenagers are, could we say crazy? You know, I don't know how else to label it, but teens are weird. I was there once. How about you? Amen. You were crazy too, right? Amen. We were back in those days. And I can remember that, you know, I was trying to shirk my duties as a teenager. My dad had all kinds of things for me to do, and I didn't want to do it. And my dad came to me one day, and he looked at me and says, "You're a lazy bum." Anybody ever heard those words? I still remember them. A lazy bum. He thinks I'm a lazy bum. That started the challenge in me. You know, I'll show him. You know, and everywhere I went after that, I think it was about 16, 17 years old about that time, I got a job as a greenskeeper in Oshawa at the Oshawa Golf Course. I cut grass. I did everything. I did the best of my abilities. I just kept going and going, and I wanted to show my dad. I wanted to show the world. I was up for a challenge. Amen? And I find the book of Acts is a place where you can get challenged if you listen to the challenge. If you listen to the challenge. So as I look at this, I mean, Jesus has told them in these 40 days, wait for the promise of the Father. I mean, this is a challenge. Are you ready to wait? Are you ready to tarry in Jerusalem and be endued with power on high? Are you ready for that challenge? You know, why would Jesus really, as I think about this, and he's looking at all these, you know, Peter denied Jesus three times, and Thomas, you know, I won't believe unless, you know, and going through all these disciples and all their hang-ups and everything else, and I started looking at them, why would Jesus empower someone who would not testify or be a witness for Jesus? Why would he ever give them the Holy Spirit if they're not going to be a witness for Jesus? And then I started thinking, well, that's the same today. Why would Jesus ever fill us with his Holy Spirit and empower us if we're not going to say something? If we're not going to do something? It would be a waste of Holy Spirit in our lives, wouldn't it? Can I get a witness? See, I like that, can I get a witness? Because I delved into it in my books. I said, what does that mean? Because, you know, is that a newfie term? Can I get a witness? Or people used to stand up in church and testify and say, I want to give a witness! And they would say things, and I started looking up, what does that really mean? A witness is something you get in your heart, whether it's never known before, or something that's already known, but you needed to revisit it and get it going again in your heart and your life. And so when you're sitting in church and you hear the preacher say something, and you've never heard it before, you're getting a witness. Amen? Or maybe something has gone blank in your life. It used to have it, but you don't have it now, and you need to get it stirred back up. And so you're feeling, yeah, I get a witness. I need it again. Amen? So can I get a witness? Amen. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's a beautiful portion of Scripture. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You know, most translations say, you shall be witnesses to me. But I like the New American Standard Bible that says it, my witnesses. My witnesses. I thought that was pretty good. See, Jesus takes a powerful interest and an ownership to those who are his witnesses, my witnesses. He takes ownership. Can I get a witness? Amen. See, verse 8 is not just here so we can become Pentecostal. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I'm Pentecostal. I'm a pastor with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. This verse isn't here just so you and I can say, I go to a Pentecostal church. It's not there for all of that. It's not there so you could say, I speak in tongues. It's not there to say, well, in our church, we swing from chandeliers. We roll on the floor. We speak in tongues. And we enjoy each other's company. We're just a great bunch of people in the Pentecostal church. And we don't go with all that religious stuff anymore. Pentecost is not there for all that. See, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, it gets a lot of people going these days, you know, when you think of that term, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because the comment often goes, you know, when you come out of church, did you feel the Holy Ghost today in church? Woo! That was a time in church, right? And that's good. And that's okay. But is that what our attention in this verse is all about? So we can have a woo in church? See, this verse is directing every person who sincerely believes that the work of the church, the outreach of the church, and the calling upon the church is the highest and foremost directive or even commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ in equipping us to be his hand extended into this dark, 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 sin-filled world. Amen? I like what George Wood said. He was the superintendent of the Assemblies of God in the States. He says, this is the commandment of the unsealed lips. I thought that was pretty cool. Unsealed lips. How many believe the world is getting worse? I was listening to Ravi Zacharias on the way down to church this morning. He was talking and they had a question and answer period. They were talking about transgender. I mean, you wouldn't have heard this on the radio years ago. I mean, I just heard preaching. Sinner, come to Christ. You know, I just heard those kinds of things. Now you're hearing all kinds of stuff. I look at our world and the battles people are facing. Like, you know, when a baby is born, you don't call it male or female just yet. Wow. What is happening in our world? It's going crazy. It's going crazy. I mean, the world is getting worse and worse. It's going deeper in sin. And I really believe, like, Romans chapter 8 says the creation is groaning, moaning. I believe the church should be groaning and moaning along with it and interceding and praying and say, God, we need revival. We need a move of the Spirit of God in our land and our world. We need something to happen on this old soil, this terra firma that is going further and further away from God. We need to come back to God. And I really believe that this is a day and age when God is saying, I need some witnesses to go into this world to tell of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes, hallelujah, praise God. We need witnesses, witnesses, witnesses to the great and powerful work of the Lord Jesus Christ to save the world. And many people, when they look at the verse 6-8, they see different things and aspects. But I just wanted to consider today the idea of witnesses. Could you allow me to do that? I'm not going to look at power. I'm not going to look at the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to look at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. I'm going to key in and focus in on the word witnesses for the next few moments, okay? So, that's me. Not close? Good resemblance. Can't see my face, but I'm there. Okay. You may want to write down these five things, but I believe they're very essential. To be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some requirements. Number one, you can never witness for Jesus unless you're saved. You know, you would be dumbfounded if somebody asked you a question. You'd be confused. You wouldn't know what to say. You don't know the Word of God. First thing off is you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that is the only time that you'll ever get into the place of being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ because you have salvation. You have Jesus Christ. You know Him as your personal Savior. You know, there's a lot of people know about God, but they don't know Him. A lot of people have heard the name Jesus Christ. They probably used him a few times when they stubbed their toe or whatever, but they don't know him. They don't know him. You know, I look on the news and I hear all this stuff about North Korea and the United States is going to meet with them, and then they've called it off, then they've called it on. It's going back and forth. I've never been to North Korea. I just know about North Korea. I've never been there. There's a lot of things that we know in life, but we've never been to that place. We've never experienced, we've never come in contact with them. But you've got to come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to have salvation before you can be a witness for him. Can you say amen? Can I get a witness? See, to be a witness also, number two is there, that you've got to have the right message. You've got to have the right message. There's all kinds of messages out there today. There's all kinds of stuff like I shared about the Jehovah's Witness. You know, I just got a pamphlet addressed to the Reverend Russell Bates in the mail on Friday that came from the Church of Scientology, and they're inscripting me. They want me to be one of their volunteers. I've got it sitting in my office. It's got a nice, beautiful DVD in there you can play. It's got all kinds of pamphlets to go through. And they want me to come to the Church of Scientology. Isn't that nice? Church of Scientology is not very good either. Holy Spirit wants to have the right message. Jesus, for 40 days, would have rehashed all this out to ensure with these guys, this 120, the message is true. Make sure the message is right. Jesus spoke it and says it in verse 3, things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus tells them that they are to be witnesses unto me. Jesus is to be the sole focus of their message and our message as well. Jesus is the only message that you and I have to talk about. When people say, well, I don't know if he's the Savior of the world, I'm sorry, he is the Savior of the world. That's the message that he's given to me. I'm witnessing for him. He is the Savior of the world. There's only one way you're going to be in heaven one day, and that's because of your belief in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. There's no other way that you can get in there. What about other religions? No, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. There's no other way. Sorry, Muhammad doesn't cut it. Allah, you know, Buddha, all these other guys, they don't cut it. They just aren't with it. They didn't die for somebody. They didn't get nailed to a cross. Jesus got nailed to a cross for you and I. He showed this immense love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You can never find that kind of love anywhere else. So praise God. Our right message is tell the world about Jesus. We're to tell of his love. We're to tell about his death. We're to tell about his resurrection. We're to share the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians, Paul said this to the church when he was talking about the resurrection. I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the message. He was testifying. He was witnessing to that. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the message we give to people around us. It's the right message. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the message that we give to people, and we testify, and we're a witness to that. Acts chapter 16, remember when Paul went over to that place with Philippi, the jailer, and the jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Message is very clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16. Sound like those Jesuits. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Now that's a little better. You got above those Jesuit priests. See, we are to tell the world that Jesus will save anyone who comes to him. He will never, ever turn anyone away. Praise God. Many people, they know theories of theology, but they do not know Jesus. They even teach theology in secular universities, but the people there are so far from Jesus. It's just another study book. Just another book to put on the list. See, many people have heard about heaven. They know all the glories of heaven. They go to watch some of those movies about a little boy who went to heaven, came back. They watch all these things, but they are not headed for heaven. They're headed to hell because they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's like that blind man. You know, he just had a very simple message. He got healed, and all the Pharisees are, who did this? Who did this? I don't know. All I know is I couldn't see before. All I know is I know I can see now. And guess what? His name is Jesus. That's the message. Just, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Someone once said that all we are is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Amen? That's all about. We're just telling somebody else, this is where I found bread. You can find bread too, because Jesus is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. And you know what? You've got to use the right method. You've got to use the right method. The word witness is really interesting. If you were to look into the Greek about the word witness, the Greek word is martus, M-A-R-T-U-S. Very strong derivative of the word martyr, that people who witness for Jesus Christ will give their lives for Jesus. No problem. The issue is not about myths and legends, but it's about facts and truth. And so God is calling his church to tell what they know and what they have seen to be true. Do you know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ? Then tell it. Tell it. Tell it to other people around us. Do you know that God loves you? Then tell the world. That's very simple. Do you know that God, that you are saved? Then tell the world. I'm saved. I'm saved. Do you know how God saves sinners? That's not a deep question. Do you know how God saves sinners? Say yes. Then tell the world. Tell the world. Hallelujah. Do you know who to tell? Anyone. Just tell anyone. Tell the world. Anybody gets in your pathway, like a hygienist, like a lady at the track, like anywhere you go, somebody's in our way, hallelujah, that we can share something with. Even though we don't get down to John 3:16 with them, start building on those things and work towards that, because God has obviously opened them up and brought them to that place, hallelujah. You know, these great witnesses just told what they knew. That's simple as that. Just tell what you got. Tell them what you knew. That's all the Lord wants you to do. And that is the best method of all methods. Just tell it. Another thing is think clearly. I think that a lot of times Christians do not think clearly. That's why they sometimes label us as, don't sit down for coffee with them. See, the witness in a court of law is to testify to the judge and the jury. And the witness to Jesus Christ is to testify to the whole world. And that is a big task, so Jesus breaks it all down for us. We need to begin here and then move out. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, to start working on those things. Do you know where to find lost people? Yeah. They're everywhere. I mean, this isn't hard math or anything else. We got to start thinking clearly, because sometimes people think, oh, if I could only find somebody who's lost. If I could only find somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ, you know, and all of a sudden Holy Spirit just brings one person right up in front of you, you know, that is going through something. I like what Peter shared this morning, that you were in a restaurant there last Sunday, and God laid it on your heart that there was a family sitting over there, and you needed to go and talk with them. I like that. I like that. That says something, that, you know, we're not just there to eat the We're there on a higher purpose. We're there in a higher cause. We're going there. God, is there somebody, something, somewhere? You know, to me, it's the best way to start your day is, who can I lead to the Lord Jesus Christ? Who can I bring some information? The lost people are all around us, amen? We're to always be on the mission. The mission. We're always to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone we meet is either a believer or they are in need of the gospel. Right? They're either a believer or they're in need of the gospel. That's all there is in our world. Let's tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And fifth and finally, have the muscle. I always like this one. The power of God. You shall receive power. The muscle. You know, everybody always, when I tell them my name, you know, my name's Russell. Rhymes with. They never forget my name. I don't know why. Just think of that. You never forget my name. I like that. But that's what Jesus said. You shall receive power, and that's the muscle of God. That's God working with us and in us. If our message is to have any power, if our methods are to be successful, if our mindset is even to be what it should be, we are going to need some outside help into this little vessel that's trying to do something for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need some muscle. And Jesus tells us in that verse that our help comes from Holy Spirit. The people in the upper room were promised that the Holy Spirit was coming, and that when he came, he would fill them, he would endue them, he would enable them with God's power.
power. When that power came on the day of Pentecost, those terrified disciples who'd been hiding and running and everything else, all of a sudden they became bold and powerful. Peter stepped up and preached the message. 3,000 souls got saved on the day of Pentecost. They were changed because of the muscle of God, the power of God. And when they preached that gospel, it was just something beautiful. And what made the difference? It wasn't that Peter, you know, all of a sudden, oh, I'm a theologian now, and say all these big 50-cent words or whatever. I mean, he wasn't just eloquent or anything like that. He didn't have any speaking ability. He just had the power of God resting upon him, the Spirit of God moving through him and working with him. And that's what you and I need. You know, where did that power come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. Why do we need Holy Spirit today? He's our friend. He's our comforter. He's our guide. He's our enabler. He's our helper. He speaks truth into our life. He tells us when we missed it. He tells us when we made it. He tells us all the good things. He points us to Jesus. He's a good person, the Holy Spirit. So Acts chapter 1, verse 14, as they waited, they prayed. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says they were all united. Would to God the Christian churches these days would get united. Amen. And 2018 become united. Praise God. Did you read the Daily Bread this morning? It was really good. They had a Pentecost, and I liked how they went and read it, that all the nations were gathered there in that little place of Jerusalem for this celebration of Pentecost. And as I sat there reflecting on this morning, and I looked over the last week of, you know, the U.S. Embassy has been moved to Jerusalem, and I started thinking about how all those protesters and people were killed, and it was a sad scene and all that. And I started thinking of all the bitterness in that Holy Land, and the hatred of Jews and Arabs and all these people groups, and Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda, and all these people are bent on killing and protesting and defeat and everything like that. And I was sitting there thinking as I read the Our Daily Bread, God, we need another Pentecost. We need another Pentecost. We need to get that unity in our world. It's just like that black preacher said at the wedding there yesterday, we need love in our world. Love, 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 love. It'll change this whole wide world if we get love back in there. It'd be a different world to live in. Different world. And I believe that Pentecost wants to bring that love back into the world. Amen. You know, I praise God for all the blessings that you and I have in Pentecost. And I just praise the Lord. You know, how important is it, though, for us to be a witness? How important is being a witness to you? How important is it? Is it high on our list of the priorities of our life? What are we willing to change in our life to say, God, help me to change, to be a more effective witness for you? What are we willing to deal with in our life? You know, to say, God, I've been quenching the Holy Spirit. I've been disallowing you in my life. What are we willing to do this morning and change and to be able to allow that to happen upon our lives? What price are we willing to pay for the touch of God on our life? And how long has it been, really? You know, as I was reading some of the statistics from Barna, when was the last time that you ever shared the Lord Jesus Christ with somebody? And the answer came back that some people said, well, I can't remember. Can't remember. It's been a while. I think that we need the power of God again in the church, amen, to reach the lost. Can I get a witness today? Would the worship team come, please? Can we sing that Brett Yonker song? I don't know if you were struggling with it this morning or not, but could we? There is power, power in this hour, this hour. Amen. Do you believe that? There's power in this hour? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I saw this quote. It said, do you realize your heart cannot begin to hold all the love Jesus has for you? Isn't that interesting? Do you realize your heart cannot begin to hold all the love Jesus has for you? So, can I get a witness? That means something's gone on. You got something new, or something had to be brought back up in that sense of the spirituality. Say, God, this is what I need to get back to. Yeah, I got a witness. I get a witness. Every time I preach, you know, I'm preaching in here. It's not I'm preaching at you. Oh, this is what I feel. This is what I feel. God, we need to. Help me. You know, so I preach this and saying, God, help me. I want to be better for you. I want to be a better witness. I want to stand strong for you. If there's things that need to change in my life, help them to change. Help me to be stronger for you. Help me to use that muscle you gave us, the Holy Spirit. Help us to use that power that you made available to the church. Help us to use it. Help us not to shirk them, push them away. Like Paul said, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Help us to be able to be receptive. Holy Spirit, I need you today. Holy Spirit, I can't do this without you. You've got to come with me. I will be the voice, but you be the power. I will be the vessel, but you be the power. I will be the person that goes, but you be the power. I can't save a soul. I can't get into their heart, but Holy Spirit can. He can get into that soul. He can get into their mind. He can get into their heart. He can tell them things. He can tell them things at 12 o'clock midnight when I can. I'm sound asleep. He can do all kinds of things when he's using the power that we've released through our lives to somebody around us and witnessing to them. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, that you have called us on this day of Pentecost, and you've given us a beautiful demonstration in the book of Acts, especially on that day of Pentecost when Peter stood up and boldness overtook him, the power of God, where he stood up and preached the word of God. This is that which Joel prophesied about, that God was going to do this in the last days, and you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to him. You've got to repent. Repent of your ways and come to him. And so he stood up and preached about the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon a cross but was resurrected. He's alive. He's alive. And so Peter just allowed that power of the Holy Spirit to be used through him. And I really believe that you and I, everywhere we go, all we need to do is step up with boldness. Step up and say, God says this. I believe that God wants to help you in your life. I believe that God wants to share these things with you. Just people are so open these days. They don't know what to say when somebody comes along and says, I believe that Jesus loves you. They don't know what to say. But you just gave them something to think about. You just gave them something to think about. So God, this morning, help us to be equipped. Help us to be equipped in the Holy Spirit. Help us not just to be going off blazingly in every which direction. Help us to pinpoint. Give us clarity of mind. Give us direction, Holy Spirit. Show us the way. We'll depend upon you, but we'll be willing. We'll be obedient to when you say it. We'll go when you tell us to go. When you tell us to say something, we'll say it. But direct us. Direct us, Holy Spirit. You're our guide. You're our comforter. You're everything to us this morning, Holy Spirit. So that's why we celebrate Pentecost, Lord, because we want to be your witness. Your witness. So anybody here this morning who needs help in this area of their life, anybody that needs to repent of something that they haven't been doing but need to get back to that place, Lord, help us all to say, God, we're so sorry. Forgive us. Help us to turn from what we've been to what you want us to be. Help us to go from a Peter who's been denying to a Peter who's standing up shouting Jesus, declaring the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us this morning, Lord, through your blood, through the word that you preached for 40 days, through the things pertaining to and concerning the kingdom of God, showing yourself to those disciples. Show yourself to us today in that same strength and that same power, Lord, that we need to be your witnesses. And Lord, help us to be faithful, Lord, because we love you so very much. And it's a joy to be your witness. It's truly a privilege to declare you to somebody who does not know you. What a blessing it is, Lord, to tell them about the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. So church, are you ready? Are you ready? The mission field is right outside the door. All you have to do is go out there and say, where are they? And they're there. They're all around you. Amen. Praise God. Let's go. Praise God. You feel it burning? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Hallelujah. So you ready? Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for Pentecost. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the unction of Holy Spirit. Thank you for the enabling. So that's exactly what the church needs today. God, as we go from this place, go with us, strengthen us, empower us. And who knows, we'll be here next week because somebody witnessed to them because they're hungry for more of God. Amen. Go with us now. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody who got a witness said, amen. Amen.
Hello. Just one more thing. I got a text from Brandy a few minutes ago. Eric's got some sort of a lump on the right side in his throat. And from what I could understand from the text, he may have to go under to get it operated on. So keep him in prayer. Hey? Okay. Okay. So keep him in prayer. We'll keep him in prayer.